Hi, everybody. This is Kyler Bingham with Salt Lake Dirt and KPCR 92.9 FM, now in Los Gatos. We are at the Slam Dance 2024 Film Festival, and there is a film that had caught my eye back at this past summer at Dances with Films. I didn't get the chance to see it, but I was aware of it, and I wanted to see it, Daruma. We have quite the crew from Daruma with us today, so we're going to go around and have each person introduce themselves and tell us their capacity in the film. So we're going to start with Alexander, the director.
Hi, I'm Alexander Yellen. I'm the director and cinematographer for Daruma.
I'm John Lawson, and I'm one of the actors. I play Robert in Daruma.
I'm Kelly McNeely, and I'm the writer-producer of Daruma.
I'm Abigail Hawk. I play the role of Anna in Daruma, and I associate produce the film.
And I'm Mark Dahlstrom. I was the first assistant director on the film.
Wonderful. So first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to hit Mark with a question because I hear this is his first time seeing the film with an audience. Talk to me about the experience. You just walked out of it. It was sold out, standing room only. You can't really ask for more at a Slam Dance screening. So tell me about your experience seeing it with an enthusiastic group of people.
Yeah, powerful, emotional, moving, you know, the kind of movies that should be made, the kind of movie that makes a difference in the world and has a story and a message that I think we all need to hear more often. You know, I've worked on many, many projects over the years, and you kind of look at them and go, whoa, what's the end game here? What's the purpose of this? What do we do? Okay, we're entertaining people, and entertaining is fine, and I'm all for entertaining, but when you can entertain and move and get people to think about something beyond their own capacity to think, I think that's amazing, and it's beautiful. You know, as the first assistant director on the movie, you see the sausage being made. You're there, all the takes, all the setups, all the, this is okay, this doesn't quite work, okay, let's redo that, yep, okay. No. And then, I mean, for me, seeing it for the first time all come together, beautiful choice of music, beautiful sound design, all the elements you need to make a movie work. Alexander and Kelly did that. It's really well done. It's beautiful. It's powerful. I mean, that's the best word I can think of is powerful and emotional. I guess that's two words, but there.
That's incredible. I love seeing people come out of a theater with like smeared mascara and tears. That's always a good sign. So
I'm not a man to cry much, but I was wiping tears.
Like, what are these? What is this wet substance on my face?
I don't have a bug in my eye. What's going on here?
Well, okay. So talk to me. I guess let's tell people about the film. Like, what is the film about? Who can speak to that?
Okay. Well, my name is Kelly McNeely. Oh my goodness, I'm beklempt.
It's so much emotion.
There's so much going on. Yes, film festivals are a lot, and our festival this screening was a lot, and it was great, and it was amazing. But this film, I'm Kelly McNeely. I'm the writer producer. This film is the first film in American cinema history to star two leads with disabilities, and a narrative that is not about overcoming disability. So we have an authentically cast film, and as you said, Kyler, that we screened at Dances with Films last summer, and one of the big things to come out of that was that Tobias Forrest, our lead, who plays Patrick, and John W. Lawson, who plays Robert, they're friends with Peter Farrelly, so Oscar-winning producer of Green Book, Something About Mary, Dumb and Dumber, all of the things. They invited Peter because Peter is very active in the disability community, and he's very supportive. And Peter came out of the screening, he could not stop talking to Alex about the movie. And, of course, he was talking about everyone's performances and as Mark said, you know, the writing and the direction and how all it came together. And, of course, Victoria Scott, the little girl, who's just incredible. But Peter knew that we were going into Slam Dance, and we started talking, and he said, I'll come on as executive producer to help give this film the best chance of success possible. And I really... You know, I don't know what more endorsement than you can ask for somebody of his caliber to come in and say, this is something that is worth seeing by audiences.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I wanted to ask you about that. So I'm curious about like the struggle to get it made initially, because this film is a big deal. There's firsts in it. It's, you know, and when you're the first person or the first team to pave a way for something, it is... you're chipping through rock. It is hard. I can't even imagine. And so what made you, like, I want to know how long this whole journey from start.
The whole journey?
Sure, why not? And then just
how long you got.
The entire journey?
Well, going back to when you first had the concept for it, and then maybe some of the initial roadblocks, and then what kept you from giving up? You kept going.
So I penned the first draft of this in 2008, and I know I've said this in other interviews too, but I wrote it. The film's not about, it's not based on a true story, but it is. I wrote it to process my own grief surrounding a family tragedy. Mm. This was my first real brush with disability. You know, so I had a family member become injured and, life-changing accident. Yeah. And at the time, there really wasn't anything, there weren't any resources to help us kind of cope as a family. There, Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation wasn't what it was. You know, there wasn't social media really to help. There wasn't anything. So I wrote about it. I wrote the story. And one of the things that I noticed was that the world suddenly became inaccessible. I mean, as an able-bodied person, you walk around, you just don't think about, you know, how you're going to open the door or where you're going to park your car or things like that. But, you know, 1 in 4 people in the entire world identify as disabled.
Yeah.
And I think that we should think about those things. But that's something that I noticed. It was just suddenly now this world that was accessible suddenly was not. And then I started to notice that all of the media representation showed that, you know, the theme that death was better than living with a disability. Mm. And that just was just, I don't know, I thought we could do something better. And I really didn't want to tell a tropey story about, you know, this angelic sort of disabled person, because if anybody knows John Lawson, he is not an angel. And he's shrugging his shoulders. He knows what I'm talking about. But I wanted to tell the story about, you know, overcoming an emotional roadblock. So I wrote the first draft of it in 2008, and it sat in a drawer for like a decade. Mm. And this was the first script of mine that I let Alex read. And if anybody that doesn't know this, Alex and I are a husband and wife team. And Alex wrote the script before he proposed to me, by the way. So I let him read it. And I'm
it's a good sign, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, if he's a director, cinematographer, and I'm a writer, and you know, you want to know the creative, you know, what is your messaging? What do you want to say?
If you're going to have another creative as your life partner, you'd better respect their work.
Right.
Otherwise, it will come out eventually. Really, yes. You're lying to them for the rest of your life.
Well, I give him the script, and you know, the script has gone through a number of iterations since he read it. But I gave it to him, and I kind of run to the other room because I really don't want to see what his reaction is, because I'm a deeply insecure writer. So I just, you know, I was terrified to give it to him.
That means you're a good writer. Most good writers are insecure.
I question everything all the time. But I gave it to him, and a couple minutes later, I hear him just like belly laughing from the other room, and I run in and I'm like, what is so funny? And he goes, this is hysterical. And I'm like, this is a drama. And he's like, no, this is a dark comedy. He's like, what are you going to do with this? And I said, I really don't know. I said, everyone I've tried to talk to about making it has said, you know, who are you going to cast? And one of the things that from the beginning, I always wanted to cast authentically, because that was one of the things I wanted to try and make space for. And everyone I'd given it to was like, we get to that point and they're like, oh, you want to do this? Because I don't want to touch Sarah. I don't want to wade in these waters. It's unknown. So which I just kind of shelved it. And Alex looked at me. And again, this is before he proposed. He said, I'll direct it.
Yeah.
He said, if we can find a way to make this, he's like, I will direct it. And I'm like, all right. So that was in 2017.
When I said that, when I mentioned directing it, she said, well, I only have one absolute condition. There's one red line, and that's we have to cast authentically. And I said, do you have any idea what's out? I said, that's fine. Do you have any idea what's out there? She said, no. I guess we'll find out. So we shopped the idea around a little bit. We did sort of a soft test, and we basically heard the same thing everywhere, which was, wow, that's really great what you guys are doing. We really believe in it. Let us know when it's done so we can see it.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And you know, it's the studio machine thrives solely on recycled success. And if it's succeeded before, they'll do it again. Yep. If it's never been done before, that's too risky, and it doesn't matter how much data you show them, how many statistics, how many people you bring to stand in front of their offices and say, "I will pay to see this."
Yeah,
it doesn't matter until it's successful. It's unproven. So we went, we made a proof of concept, and we did a nationwide casting search. We got, you know, it was very traditional. We put the roles out on breakdowns and got submissions on tape, and we did callbacks, and we found John and Toby, and what we can get back to them and casting and all of that. But we made a proof of concept, and we took that out and did more intensive pitching, and we got mostly the same answers.
So we decided to crowdfund for a portion of it. And I like to tell the story of, you know, I like to think of my style of filmmaking as film soup, and I don't know if anybody is familiar with the story of Stone Soup, but it's a children's story where there's a hungry traveler going through the village, and nobody will feed him, nobody will house him, so he decides to start doing something. So he gets a rock, and he puts it in a bucket, and somebody comes by, and they're like, what are you doing? And then he's like, well, I'm making a magic soup, and it's going to be delicious, but what would make it better would be some water. So somebody brings some water, and then more people get interested, and then more people get interested, and that's kind of how we built upon it. And, you know, we started doing the Student Spark campaign back in 2019, and very foolishly, like weeks after our wedding, by the way. You know, we did not go lightly into this. But we caught the attention of Abigail, who's worked with Alex for a number of years, and I'll let her tell her involvement in this part.
Yeah, I wanted to add, talk about your involvement and how you got involved in this.
So Alex and I have known each other for a little under a decade, worked together on a couple of films, and you know, I've always respected and admired his work ethic, but also his final product. I think he's a visionary. I love seeing his eye. And, you know, I kept seeing Daruma, 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 and these crowdfunding. So I started following along because I was so taken by this very novel concept. And I fell in love with John and Toby, just seeing, you know, the videos and the dad jokes that John was doing in order to help with the funding. And my niece Catherine was born severely developmentally and physically disabled. She did not have a strong prognosis to live much past about 2 years old, but she made it till she was 16. She had a wonderful, fulfilling life. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law were clearly chosen to be her parents, and it opened my entire mind. And so seeing this film, it really felt like a true heartstring tug. And, you know, I want to make art that matters. I want to make a difference, as trite as that sounds. And I looked at my husband. We were on a road trip. We were driving back home from Maine. It was like 6 hours into an 8-hour trip. And I looked at him and I was like, I want to fund this. And he was like, okay, you've never said anything like this before. And I said, well, I want to do it. I want to get it over the finish line. And I did. And it's one of the best decisions I've ever made, because the relationships and the people that I've come in contact with, truly.
Yeah, it's been making, I can just sense, like I said, when I saw people coming out of the theater, it's palpable, the energy, that people were moved. Let's talk to John for a minute. I want to talk to you about, you know, how did you become involved? They were looking all over the country. Where are you from? Where did you come from?
Well, I live in Los Angeles, and I saw the breakdown, and my manager called and said, hey, there's a breakdown for this guy with no hands. Do you want to audition? And I'm going, yeah. You know, and in 35 years in the business, I had never seen that before. For a true double amputee in the breakdown, you know. So Toby has been a friend of mine for 15 or more years, 20 years, and we read for each other. You know, he lives about a mile from me, so we go back and forth to each other's houses and read. And so I went over to his house to read the script, and he was going to help me. And I said, Toby, you should audition for the guy in the wheelchair. And he goes, no, it's a para, and I'm a quad. They'll want me to do stuff. I said, dude, let them make the decision to not hire you. And he goes, well, I don't have a script. I go, just read the opposite of what I did. Because I think they sent like 17 pages. But anyway, it was a long audition. So we actually just flipped the camera around, and he did read. And then we kind of tell the story that he called me, you know, the next week, or goes, dude, I'm so glad you had me read. I got a call back. Did you? And I went, no. He goes, sorry. But I did. And then they contacted me. So when we went in together, I asked Kelly and Alex, of course, we didn't know them from anybody. I said, Toby and I are friends. Could we read together? And they go, yeah, that'd be great. So the scene we read, I don't know. I think there was one where I'm angry at him and one where at the end where we were friends. And I think what came through was the real friendship that we'd built over 20 years, you know, that shine through, and I think that's what comes through on the screen as well.
Yeah, I think what I love about talking to independent filmmakers is, especially at a festival like Slamdance, you have, like, no one seems like they're in competition, because each film is so uniquely different.
Yeah.
and everyone has a space here. And, you know, and then just hearing the stories like that, the kind of like just the connections, like you knew him and then how you became involved. It's incredible.
We're definitely not in competition with other films. I mean, we're in competition with studios, really. I mean, yeah. we're the ones trying to make sure that things are done right and authentically cast, and, you know, doing any kind of marketing or press or anything around like an indie film is hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. And, you know, I think we've had good success with it, and I think a lot of that is down to like this is a story. It's a good movie.
Yeah,
it's a good movie, and people want to see it, and they're curious, and you know the buzz that we've gotten around it has just been pretty incredible.
Yeah,
it really has. It's kind of crazy, and a lot of it has to do with the ringmaster here herself. But it is a film, and we go to films because we want to feel something.
Yeah.
And we saw a short right before our film today that made us all feel something. Yes. But
it was called Saving Art, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, and we go to films to feel something. Yeah. And Darum is not a moral story movie at all. You know, it's a film that has a heart that anybody can relate to. And I think what has come across through Alex's direction and the pretty pictures on the screen is that these are characters that are fully nuanced, and they have many facets to them, and they just happen to have a disability. Yeah. And it's not about the disability. It's not about trying to get in and out of a car or trying to drive with no hands. It's just about the emotional disability that they both suffer.
Oh, look, there's a joke in there that I wanted to get rid of, but John was like, "No, we're keeping it." And I'm not going to tell which one it is, but when you see it, you'll know.
A lot of dad jokes, huh?
Well, this wasn't a dad joke, but yeah, it was
close enough.
A bad
dad. Yeah, close enough. But yeah, you know, and that's the thing that everybody wants to know: distribution, independent film, and that's where we're really trying to make waves, is because this needs it. Because there's a really cool quote by Michelle Obama, and I'll probably paraphrase it, but it says, you know, a lot of people, their only understanding of other people not like them is what they see on television and film. So the best way for us to learn about people that aren't about us is by the entertainment and the drama that we bring into our own house, into our living room for us to watch.
Yeah, what a good point. I mean, I was just talking to a filmmaker earlier today about how the more specific you are with your art, the more it tends to resonate with more people who have no connection with that, like, specific, you know, the thing. So it's like being very true to you, yourself, and who you are and your experience really comes across. And, you know, the human condition, we all share that, depending, you know, we all have that, and we are drawn into it.
I'll let you know.
Okay, we just had a new. I think we have like the biggest fan of the film that wanted to come over and be a part of it. So I
know,
I
want. She's so critical to this.
Hi, my name is Lauren Applebaum, and I first got to meet this lovely team back in 2019 when I had the opportunity to see the proof of concept short that was workshopped during a lab that John Lawson was participating in that I was running, and then got to talk with Kelly and Alex and figure out other ways that we could kind of help support them throughout this entire process. And I just...
Tell us what organization you're with, please.
Yes. So my day job, I am the SVP of Entertainment and News Media at Respectability, which is a disability advocacy nonprofit that focuses in a variety of areas to ensure that disabled individuals can participate in all aspects of community. And I head up our work within the entertainment and news media industry to ensure more authentic representation on screen, as well as better hiring practices behind the camera. And so this film is such a true example of it, and not even just what we see on screen, but, you know, they also hired several production assistants who are other alumni of the Respectability Lab who have a variety of disabilities who are kind of looking to get their foot in the door, and that's something that Alex really cared about and gave them that opportunity.
And we mentor too.
Yes. Right. So, and then Kelly was just mentioning how both Kelly and Alex are mentors for our lab. They've both spoken. Alex this year is helping us review applications to figure out which directors will get in. We actually had 350 applications this year. We typically have about 125, so a lot more came in this year. So it just shows need. Because,
yeah.
And 350 after I culled out ones, so like 350 real ones and such. So it's great. There's a need out there of disabled writers, directors, producers, and more really wanting to work in this industry.
That also speaks to awareness, wonderful. Though, right? And the success of the program, that people are like, oh, this is a thing I can do and that I want to do.
Right. And I have that conversation with all kinds of filmmakers. I'm like, when did you decide this is what you wanted? Or like, I think I can do this. I want to do this. What did you see? And usually it's someone like them that they see or that they know of who is involved. So that is just such an important thing to include that. Well, let's talk about where people can kind of keep up with the journey of Daruma. Social media,
absolutely.
Websites.
Yeah. So our Instagram is Daruma Movie. That's on Instagram. Our website is darumamovie.com. We snapped up the handles really early nice. In this process. But before we kind of sign off on this, like, I just wanted to mention, you know, we wanted to really make waves at Slam Dance. We didn't know how many tickets we had sold or where we were at, but what we've been working on is getting brand sponsors to do gift bags for every single attendee at both the Slam Dance screening in Park City and the one at the university.
Oh, wow.
And we ended up getting tens of thousands of dollars in merchandise, you know, contributed. I'm talking things like, we got Opalescence teeth whitening kits, we got Chi yoga mats, we've got like all of these stuff. And I'm giving the brands a shout out here,
yeah,
because I want to prove that there is money in this. Like there's advertising dollars, and they're the only, and John says this many, many times, the only reason to really make a movie is to make money.
Yeah.
So if they want to know, if distributors and studios and that want to know, like, is there money in this? Oh yeah, there definitely is. So, you know, if you're here in Park City, or if you're going to be at the University of Utah on the 24th at 6:45, come get a swag bag. There's some good stuff in there.
Yeah, and this is going up before that. So people, if you're listening now, then if you're listening to the radio version of this, you can still fly out from Los Gatos and make it. But there you go. Yeah, get out here. Probably get more in the swag bag than, you know, yeah, do it. And it's a beautiful film. Exactly.
Kyle, let me say one more thing.
Sure.
Just on your earlier point about being specific in your filmmaking. I agree, but also I think it's important to be universal in your themes.
Mm.
And, you know, I think if we had made a film about somebody who becomes disabled and how they live with that disability, I think there's a limit to how much people can, especially the broad swath of the audience that isn't exposed to disability in their everyday life, can relate to that.
Yeah.
But taking somebody who has a disability and putting them in a situation that everyone can relate to, where it's, I mean, everybody knows what it's like to have some tragedy in their life or be estranged from a parent or have difficulty raising a child or need help or need forgiveness. Those are universal emotions, and those are things that anybody can relate to, and they can see themselves in our characters,
yeah,
even whether they have a disability or not. And I think that is the thing I want people to take away, is that everybody is more alike than they may realize.
Right. That's wonderful.
And that's what I was going to say too, is that in my character Robert, the pendulum swings wide from this tenderness to this godlike wrath. And you know, I have people that have come up afterwards and go, I see you now that you have hooks, but I just watched you in the film and I didn't notice that you had hooks. I lost it. Right. I didn't see that. I saw the character.
Yeah.
And that was the best compliment I think I could get. So I appreciate you having us, the opportunity here.
Of course. So yeah, thank you. I mean, this is the most people I've interviewed at once. And I think it went pretty well.
Hey, so, first for you too. Awesome.
Yeah, yes. This has been wonderful. I appreciate you making the film. I think it's so important, and I really look forward to, you know, your work in the future, and just also what this potentially opens up for the community and for the rest of the world. And, you know, we need to see these things, and it's just a good film. So that's,
you
know, first and foremost,
thank
it's
you.
A good movie.
That
so
matters.
Go check it out. Anything else you want to say,
thank
anybody?
You so
this
much.
Was fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for listening.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, everybody, check out Daruma. Come to the University of Utah Unstoppable screening on Wednesday, the 24th.
6:45.
You'll have a 6:45. There'll be a link to where you can get more information. It's free, so you can't beat that.
And you get swag bags.
And you get a swag bag, so you kind of get
paid.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Kyler.